You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Good morning. This is Vox Markets, live from PDAC 2025. This morning, I have Martin Walter, CEO of Carlton Precious Metals, with me. Good morning, Martin.
Well, good morning, Mr. Ireland. Lovely to be here. Thanks for the invite.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of past success in the silver market. Can you touch on how that experience helps you prepare for the current bull market?
Okay. Straight into the history. I guess some of your viewers or some of your listeners may or may not remember a company back in 2009-10 that we had at that point called Aquiline Resources. We had a very, very large silver project in Argentina, silver lead zinc type project in Argentina, and we managed to develop that and sell it to Pan American Silver in December 2010, maybe January 2011. The price tag, healthy price tag of 625 odd million. When we did sell it, it went at 800 million ounces of silver, 5 billion pounds of lead, those sort of numbers. So we've had in the past world class silver. I mean, that was a world class project at the time. It may still be one of the largest silver transactions in the history of the world, but even the history of silver anyway, right? So we do know what world-class silver looks like. We do know what some of the producers are looking for, what the major producers are looking for, which is sort of puts us in good stead in terms of going forward in the silver market, the silver sector.
And your flagship property, Escalache, is a past producer?
Yeah, and just, I just mentioned on that, that the management now, I mean, back in the days with Aquiline, Mark Henderson, who is now our chairman at CPI at Carlton Precious, he was the CEO of Aquiline, if you recall there. And there were other people that are involved in Carlton Precious that were also involved at the management level back in the Aquiline days with Navidad. So, yes, and with CPI, we have now got another silver project. It's in the southern part of Peru. It's called Escalache. It's a wonderful project. It's a very big mineralized silver lead zinc mineralized system. It sits on the southern half of Peru, as I mentioned, in what we call the Southern Cordillera, the Peruvian Cordillera. It's when you're looking for silver, you want silver, let's go where the silver is. And in terms of production in the world, I think Mexico would be number one, 200 odd million ounces of silver. Then you have China, but then you have Peru under that, then Argentina, etc. So yeah, we're in Peru. We've had the project, I guess, in the company now for maybe 6 to 8 years. We've been nursing it along slowly. The market has not been there for silver producers or silver developers over the past, 8 or 10 years, as you'll be well aware of. But it's there now. This project wasn't mined before. And again, when you're looking for, as they say in the business, if you're looking for mineralization, you're looking for mineral, then go make sure you're in the shadow of the head frame. And this was a mine before by Hochschilds in the 60s and the 70s, in the early 70s. So we know it can go back there as well. It's very strong in terms of high-grade silver. You can get silver at Escalache, 20-odd ounces, these sorts of assays coming out. There's also gold there. We've had up to 13, 14, 15 grams of gold. We've got a little bit of copper. We've got 7% combined lead zinc. So, it's we're well positioned. And projects like Gescalachi are very difficult to find, very difficult to come across, especially in today's world. And you know, silver's now popped from, where have we gone? We've gone from probably $17 in the last 12 months or so, maybe 18 months, and then today, I think this morning, the spot price in silver is $31.63, something like that. So, you know, when silver races up like that, then it's very difficult to get a company to get ownership or your hands on a project the size of Escalachi, and we've had that. They don't fall off the back of trucks, these projects. They're very difficult to find, to develop, and to own. And we've got one, and we're pretty pleased about that. The company trades, as you probably mentioned, the company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange, on the Venture Exchange here. I think as we sit here today, 68 odd million shares out. We're well structured. I mean, I think insiders probably have about a third of that 68 million shares. Insiders have been, if you look at the filings and recent filings, you can go and look at those recent filings and see that you can see that insiders are constantly buying up the stock and buying the stock and putting their money alongside investors. So this is quite exciting times for Carlton Precious. We've rebranded the company from, it was Nubian before, now it's Carlton Precious. We sort of rebranded the company because, to come out, we want to be more focused on silver and precious metals and those sorts of things. We know silver, as we mentioned at the start of this interview before, we want to go down that path again, and that's why we've done the rebranding. So I'm pretty pleased to see where we're positioned right now going forward.
And probably the most interesting part of the macroeconomic outlook on silver is industrial demand.
On silver, yes, I would. We have a very, very well managed company, tight share structure, insiders are participating, those sorts of things, and a lovely project called Escalachi that's advanced, as I mentioned before, and without too much work, I mean another round of drilling and a few other things, it can probably even head to the production stage, to be honest. So we have that in the company too, and then we have the silver market. And so we've got all things working for us. I mean, the silver market, the demand on the silver market seems to be growing every year. We're good at finding new uses of silver, as you know. Photography fell away, but we've replaced that now with solar panels. Each solar panel takes probably 20 grams of silver or something in that realm, right? And there's a lot of solar panels. There's a lot of solar panels and more coming. So the demand has been growing over the past half dozen years or more. On the supply side, we're mining around probably about 880 odd million ounces of silver a year. The recycling sits in around 150, 160 odd million ounces of silver. So we're probably on the supply side, maybe we're at a billion ounces. On the demand side, we're probably with the monetary interest as well and investment, and those sorts of things. The two things that drive silver obviously are industrial driven by solar panels and circuit boards and semiconductors and those sorts of things, and as well as it's also driven obviously as a monetary instrument. I mean, silver and gold are like lifeboats in times of uncertainty. You know, investors look for hard assets rather than paper assets, and when you've got, and I don't need to go into the politics that much, but when you've got the world the way it is and governments, major governments, including the US, but not just the US, most major governments around the world with out of control spending going on and reckless spending and those sorts of things, then this creates a lot of uncertainty, obviously, right, and inflation and all the rest of it. And then you can see a lot of investors, a lot of institutions that fleeing and finding a safe haven in hard assets such as silver and gold. So this is good. This bodes well for the silver market. The gap between supply and demand on the silver side of things, the fundamentals there, I think that gap, I can see that gap actually widening, not decreasing. Due to what I just mentioned, you know, with the demand of silver increasing every year and every year over year. You know, we've got companies like Samsung developing a silver battery, for example, and threatening to put that into some sort of commercial production. If that was to happen, that would be another game changer on the demand side. That would probably put us into the next level. On the supply side, the mines, we haven't we haven't found too many new mines or too many large mines over the last half a dozen years. There's been a couple, but not that many. There's a lot of big deposits in the world that have been held back, delayed at the moment due to for numerous reasons. They might be community reasons, government reasons, permitting, those sorts of things. So it's good. It's very good. I mean, I think if to invest either in the metal, in the silver metal itself, or in the producers, or in the developers or the explorers, it doesn't matter. Either three of those categories, I think, for the listeners, are a very healthy investment going forward.
CPI's main project is in Peru. Can you talk a little bit about Peru as a jurisdiction?
Yeah, okay. I mean, Peru, as everybody knows, it's been... People often talk to me, they often ask me, what about the political risk in a country like Peru? And while the politics is up and down and sideways and all those sorts of wonderful things, Peru seems the environment for mining, to be honest, and for what we do there, seems to remain constant. And Peru's a mining, big history of mining, right, dating way back. So as I mentioned, Escalante, for example, was a mine back in the 60s. They have a very strong mining culture there. They understand it. They know the value of it. So we're happy with Peru, and I think Peru now is coming better in the last couple of years, especially post-COVID. In terms of where we are in Peru, right, we are located, as I mentioned, close to a provincial town called Juliaca, and not too far from Puno. And there's a lot of mining, a lot of exploration activity happening around there. And to be quite honest, it's welcomed by the locals. It's bringing in jobs. It's bringing in extra investments and those sorts of things. So it's actually a decent place to develop a company or project like Escalante. And as I mentioned before in the interview, if you're looking for silver, go where the silver is. And that's one thing Peru has. Peru has a lot of silver.
So what are some milestones that investors should look for in CPI?
Yeah, good question. Where are we going with CPI? So we've been nursing this project, Escalante, for, as I mentioned before, for probably 6 to 8 years. And when I say that, we've sort of been waiting for the silver price to sort of kick in. And, I mean, it's gone from, as I mentioned, from $16 or $17, $18 to $31 today. And I think we're on our way to 50, to be quite honest. It's easy to see silver going to a path where silver goes to 50 in terms of the demand for silver and the uses for silver and where we're going in the world with that, with the transition and the electrification of the world. It's easy to see silver going to 50 rather than see silver going sub 30. So in light of that, it's probably time to get a project like Escalante moving along. And we haven't had a lot of news flow for the last couple of years, but what we have been doing in-house is we have been doing all the modelling. We've modelled the project. We're ready to go in terms of drilling. We know where we're going to drill next. We know the gaps in the resource. The project has around about 50-odd drill holes in it now. It lacks a few data points, and we know that. And we know exactly where they are. So we're targeting three different types of areas moving forward: a gold area, a silver area, and a lead zinc area. We want to define those three areas and bring it all together, and that would bring the basis of the first resource calculation, and that would be our next milestone. We'd hope to get there sometime early this year, maybe middle of this year. As I mentioned, we're just waiting on funding in terms of that next drilling program, and from there we'll make decisions on whether we move the project down the development path in terms of production, or whether we do another round of drilling and build the resource even bigger.
Well, excellent. Thanks for joining us, Martin.
Thanks for having us, Rodney. Anytime. Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.